ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 10। भागवतम इज द आंसर टू ऑल क्वेश्चंस। टेक्स्ट 9। एकम् एकतराभावे यदा नोपलभामहे त्रितयं तत्र यो वेदा सा आत्मा साश्रयाश्रयः। एकमेकातरो भावे यदा नोपलभामहे त्रितयं तत्र यो वेद स आत्मा स्वाश्रयाश्रयः। एकमेकातराभावे यदा नोपलभामहे त्रितयं तत्र यो वेद स आत्मा स्वाश्रयाश्रयः। एकमेकातराभावे यदा नोपलभामहे तृतीयं तत्र यो वेद स आत्मा स्वाश्रयाश्रयः।
एकमेकतराभावे यदानुपलभामहे तृतीयं तत्र यो वेद स आत्मा साश्रयाश्रयः। एकमेकतराभावे
तत्र यो वेद
Ekam,
one,
Ekatara,
another,
Abhabe,
in the absence of,
Yada,
because,
na,
does not,
Upalabhamahe,
perceivable,
Tritayam,
in three stages,
Tatra,
there,
Yaha,
the one,
Beda,
who knows,
Saha,
he,
Atma,
the super soul,
Swa,
own,
Ashraya,
shelter,
Ashraya,
of the shelter.
Of the shelter.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
All three of the above mentioned stages of different living entities are interdependent. In the absence of one, another is not understood. But the Supreme Being who sees every one of them as the shelter of the shelter is independent of all, and therefore He is the supreme shelter. Please repeat after me. All three of the above mentioned stages
of
different living entities
are interdependent.
In the absence of one,
another is not understood.
But the Supreme Being
who sees every one of them
as the shelter of the shelter,
is independent of all.
And therefore,
He is the supreme shelter.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are innumerable living entities, one dependent on the other, in the relationship of the controlled and the controller. But without the medium of perception, no one can know or understand who is the controlled and who is the controller. For example, the sun controls the power of our vision. We can see the sun because the sun has its body, and the sunlight is useful only because we have eyes. Without our having eyes, the sunlight is useless. And without sunlight, the eyes are useless. Thus, they are interdependent, and none of them is independent. Therefore, the natural question arises concerning who made them interdependent. The one who has made such a relationship of interdependence must be ultimately completely independent. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate source of all interdependent objectives is the complete independent subject. The ultimate source of all interdependence is the Supreme Truth or Paramatma, the Supersoul, who is not dependent on anything else. He is Svashrayashrayaha. He is only dependent on Himself, and thus He is the supreme shelter of everything. Although Paramatma and Brahman are subordinate to Bhagavan, because Bhagavan is the Purushottama or the supreme person, He is the source of the Supersoul also. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that He is the Purushottama and the source of everything, and thus it is concluded that Sri Krishna is the ultimate source and shelter of all entities, including that Krishna is the ultimate source and shelter, including the Supersoul and Supreme Brahman. Even accepting that there is no difference between the Supersoul and the individual soul, the individual soul is dependent on the Supersoul for being liberated from the illusion of material energy. The individual is under the clutches of illusory energy, and therefore, although qualitatively one with the Supreme Soul, He is under the illusion of identifying himself with matter. And to get out of this illusory conception of factual life, the individual soul has to depend on the supersoul to be recognized as one with him. In that sense, also the supersoul is the supreme shelter, and there is no doubt about it. The individual living entity, the jiva, is always dependent on the supersoul, Paramatma, because the individual soul forgets the spiritual identity, whereas supersoul, Paramatma, does not forget his transcendental position. In the Bhagavad Gita, these separate positions of the jivatma and the Paramatma are specifically mentioned. In the fourth chapter, Arjuna, the jiva soul is represented as forgetfulness of his many, many previous births. But the Lord, the supersoul, is not forgetful. The Lord even remembers when he taught the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some billions of years ago. The Lord can remember such millions and billions of years as stated in the Bhagavad Gita as follows. Vedaham samati tani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mangtu vedana kashchanah na mangtu vedana kashchanah. The Lord, in his eternal blissful body of knowledge, is fully aware of all that happened in the past, that which is going on at the present, and also what will happen in the future. But in spite of his being the shelter of both the Paramatma and Brahman, persons with a poor fund of knowledge are unable to understand him as he is. The propaganda of the identity of cosmic consciousness with the consciousness of the individual living entity is completely misleading, because even such a person or individual soul as Arjuna could not remember his past deeds, although he is always with the Lord. And what can the tiny ordinary man, falsely claiming to be one with the cosmic consciousness, know about his past, present and future? So, in the previous few verses, some topics have been discussed, and now it is being elaborated. Here, the ashraya aspect is being explained. Who is the ashraya? Of the 10 symptoms of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last one is ashraya. Now let's see how many of you remembered now all the 10. Okay, maybe now I'll ask, how many of you did not memorize these 10 aspects of Bhagavad Gita? Be bold enough and declare, how many of you did not? Not being truthful. How many of you remembered? How many of you did understand? Raise your hands. Then those who did not raise their hands, what am I supposed to think about them? Either you raise the hand or you don't raise the hand. Can't you just be straightforward and honest? I'm emphasizing this point days after days about the importance of these aspects, the 10 aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. But why can't you at least teacher has certain responsibility towards the students. The responsibility of the teacher is to make it a point to make the students understand what he is teaching. Now if he can't make them understand, then how does he feel? He feels that he is simply wasting his time. Srimad Bhagavatam class is not just a fashionable consideration. Yes, I am attending the Bhagavatam class, but what is happening in my mind, in memory, my understanding? Nil. And what's the point in attending the classes? I'm not asking how many of you memorized the verses. I'm simply asking how many of you understood these 10 aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, make it a point to remember them. Make it a point to understand them. That is the purpose. We are in this movement. We are living in a temple. We have become devotees with an objective. That objective is to understand this subject matter. So, then the yesterday's verse, the ashraya aspect, dealt with three considerations. Adhi-atmik, adhi-daivik, and adhi-bhautik. Adhi-atmik is the individual soul, along with his body and senses. That is the adhi-atmik. Then adhi-daivik is the demigods who are controlling different affairs of the material nature. And adhibhautik is the other living entities who we can see, but they are different from us. And these are the simple considerations. Who are the adhibhutas or adhibhautik? Those who are living entities who we can perceive. We can see other living entities. Who is adhi-atmik? I am. Individually, we all are adhi-atmik. And adhi-daivik is those we cannot see, but they are there, controlling different affairs of this material nature, the universal affairs. We may not see them personally, but we can see their effects. We can perceive their effects. And Prabhupada is giving the example of the sun. Now these all three are living entities, but some are controllers and some are controlled. And that is the state of affairs of this material nature. There is an interdependence in the sense of controllers and controlled. Not that everybody is independent. Not a single one in this nature is actually independent. As a matter of fact, every living entity, like a puppet, is being controlled by the higher authorities. Not whimsically, but according to their actions and the influence of the modes of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah. Guna means the three modes of nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance. And karmani, living entities, actions and resultant reactions. These are the two controlling factors of this material nature. Everyone is being controlled by prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Everyone in this nature is being controlled by the guna and karma. Karma means action and resultant reactions. Action-reaction principle. As you sow, so shall you reap. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This consideration may not be equal and opposite, but the reaction is there. The reaction is there. Just like, as I mentioned, as you sow, so shall you reap. As you act, accordingly there will be the reactions of your action. And everyone is subjected to those reactions, and he is tied down to this reaction principle. And those reactions are taking place in the according to the modes. Somebody acts in a mode of goodness, the result is according to the mode of goodness. Somebody acts in a mode of passion, the result will be according to that. Someone acts in a mode of ignorance, and the result will be in a mode of ignorance, or accordingly. So in this way, everyone is being controlled. And who are the immediate controllers? There may be the higher authorities are the immediate controller. Like for example, somebody is working in an office. Who is his controller? His boss is the controller. Somebody is living in some institution. Who is the controller? The head of the institution is the controller. He is dictating, do this, do that. So in this way, there are immediate controllers, and this concept can go even further. Like ultimately, we can see the universal affairs are being controlled by different individuals who are known as devas, like Surya Dev, Chandra Dev, Varun Dev, Pavan Dev, Agni Dev, Indra Dev, or devis. Devi Saraswati, Devi Durga, Devi Lakshmi, Lakshmi Devi. In this way there are various controllers. But these controllers are also subordinate controllers. Like for example, in an office, people are working in an office, and there are some managers. Apparently the manager is managing. But the managers are not the supreme controllers. They are subordinate to the directors. And then the directors also are not independent. Ultimately, the directors are also the subordinate to the head of the institution, the chairman or the proprietor. But then these proprietors are also not independent. They are also subordinate to some other factor. Like a person is running his business. He has a big establishment. But they are also dependent upon... A business is dependent upon... Dependent upon the customers. Business is dependent upon the customers. Like if the customers don't buy the products, the business will wind up. And in this way, there is interdependence. One may be the proprietor of the company, but he is dependent upon his employees. If the employees go on strike, his business will wind up. So there is interdependence in this way. But there is somebody who is the supreme controller, and he is the supremely independent. He is not subordinate to anyone. And who is that? That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here he has been described as Ashraya, Ashrayaha. He is the supreme shelter of all shelters. So that's, therefore, he is the supreme Ashraya. Or Ashraya Ashrayaha. And so here we can see that the state of affairs in the material nature, there is interdependence among these three aspects: adhi atmik, adhi daivik, adhi bhautik. There is interdependence among themselves. Prabhupada is giving the example, the sun emanates the light, and as a result of that, the eyes can see. If the sun did not give out light, the eyes wouldn't have been able to see anything. And because the eyes are there, therefore the sun's lights or sun's existence is being fruitful. If we didn't have eyes, then the sun's existence wouldn't have been even felt by anybody. If nobody had eyes, sun's existence wouldn't have been felt. Sun's light wouldn't have been seen. So in this way there is interdependence. But there is someone who is completely independent. So, Bhagavatam is leading to that ashraya, and he has been described as the samambonam. Samambonam. The ultimate conclusion of everything. The sum and substance of entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedaishcha sarvair ahameva vedya. The purpose of the Vedas is simply to understand that personality. But that personality is beyond our sense perception. He is adhokshajaha. Aprakrita vastu nahi prakrita gochara. The transcendental objects are not to be perceived by our mundane senses. With our mundane senses, with our material senses, we can only perceive material objects. But here, the personality who is beyond this material nature, he cannot be perceived with our mundane senses. Then how can we get to know about him? The only way to get to know about him is if we receive the information about him from a proper source. When we receive his informations from a proper source. Just like there are things that we haven't seen with our eyes, but we know about them. How do we know about them? You listen, you don't comment, right? When you are in a class, you should listen. How do you get to know about, say for example, there is a continent called America. How do you know that there is, how many of you have been to America? Okay. But you know about, how many of you know about America? How did you know about America? By reading books and hearing about. So, things that are beyond our sense perception, the things that are beyond our perception, how do you get to know about them? By proper source. Books and authoritative teachers. People who know about that subject. That is the way we get to know about that personality. I mean, that object. Prakritibha pare jastu tad achintasya lakshanam. There is another reality which is beyond this material nature. And that is known as achinta. That is beyond our sense perception, beyond our perception, beyond our thought, beyond our intelligence. Now, what is the way to understand that reality? Only by oral reception, hearing. That's the only way we can get to know about that reality. We cannot see, but we can hear and gather information about that reality. Okay, does anybody have any questions?
so much, how demigods are interdependent, means we are dependent on them, like Agni Dev and all, but how they are dependent?
Like, in simple words, as I said, like the proprietor of the company has employees, the employees are dependent upon the proprietor. But in turn, the proprietor also is dependent upon the employees. Because if the employees don't function, his company will go bankrupt. Right? His company will wind up. So that is how and Prabhupada is giving the example here, the sun, light. Because of the light of the sun, our eyes are able to see. But if there was no eyes, no body, then only sun, what will be the use of the sun? So in this way, they're interdependent. Like Indra is giving rain, and we need rain for cultivation. But if there's nobody to cultivate the land, then Indra may shower all the rains, but what will be? The poor Indra's all endeavors will go unaffected or unfulfilled. So that is how they are interdependent.
Guruji, sorry if I go wrong, but I want to ask something if you permit me. That the life is possible on Earth. This is, and the NASA has taken out the probability that there is life on other planets also. Like, is it possible?
Yes, sure. If there is life in the land, if there is life in the water, if there is life in air, why cannot be life in other planets?
Like, on the internet, I was searching, there was an article that there are millions of planets who have got life.
Not only millions of planets, every planet has life.
I
will suggest that you don't collect your information from NASA or news. Just read Bhagavatam and try to get the information from here. You'll get the bona fide information from here. Others are just speculation. They're just speculating. They're saying maybe there is life.
What should be my approach?
What
should be my approach to learn?
Just read Srimad Bhagavatam and listen to the class attentively. All right? Without making comments. Shraddha, you had another question? Yeah.
Rumors in the Purport, it was right about Atma and Paramatma. Rumors Paramatma is inside Atma or it is separate inside the heart?
Is inside and outside both. Do you remember that one? The third verse of Chatushloki. What is the third verse? Very good, yeah. Okay, then? Okay. So, pravishthani or pravishthani? He's inside, he's not inside. And tatha teshu, he's in them, he's not in them. Right? But the Upanishad, Kathopanishad is giving the example that there is a tree, and in the tree there are two birds. Right? So when we look at it from that perspective, the tree is the symbolical representation of the body. And in the body there are two birds. Those two birds are? Very good. And one bird is eating the fruits of the tree. Who is that bird? And another bird is watching the activities of the other bird. Who is that? Okay. So is he inside or outside? He's separate, but at the same time, he is not separate also. So there are, but we have to understand that there are two different individuals. One is a jivatma, the other is paramatma. Jivatma is the fruit-eating birds, and the paramatma is the witnessing bird who is witnessing the activities of the jiva, and he is sanctioning what the jiva should get to fulfill his desires. Okay? Hare Krishna. Where have you been? Okay. Go ahead.
So, one is the Vedas are considered to be Shabda Pramana, coming from God Himself. But even within the Vedas, there are various philosophies, like the six different types of philosophies proposed by various sages. So, how do we know which exactly is the ultimate conclusion?
For that, you have to have a teacher. A qualified teacher will give you the ultimate conclusion. The books may have various stages, but ultimate means transcending all different stages, you come to the real fact, real essence, that is the ultimate. So that ultimate essence can be received only by the mercy of a qualified teacher. Like the books of medicine may be there, many books of medicine. But who actually explains the purports of those statements in the books? The teacher in the medical college. Right? Similarly, if you want to study the subject of spiritual reality, then you have to study under the guidance of the qualified teacher. Otherwise, the books can become very, very confusing.
Maharaj, considering the power of the demigods, when Ravana violated Rupa, Nala Kumara's wife, he cursed him that if you ever do this again, you will die. But still they didn't have the power to stop his advances or stop him in his tracks. But Ravana was astute enough to know that Ravana's curse is very effective. Why didn't they use their power to actually...
There are two considerations. One is, those who are in the higher authority, they know their jurisdiction. They know their limitations. That is one. Another thing is that they know also the other person's ability. Like Ravan, the amount of piety or the boons that he had, it was impossible for anyone to actually prevent him. They couldn't prevent him, but they could curse him. And the curses are also, in a way, knowing what would happen. It's a kind of a forecast. You do this, and that's what will happen. It's a forecast. Like a doctor seeing a patient can say that, look, if you eat such and such stuff, then the reaction will be like that. Now the patient may think, oh, the doctor is cursing me, right? But what the doctor is doing, he is simply observing and stating. Because he knows, like in this condition, if he does something, that will be the reaction. So demigod's position, or sometimes we find that the sages are cursing, like even Narad Muni cursing, sometimes it appears to be, oh, he's so intolerant, right? And getting angry. Durvasa is another person famous for that, for cursing. But actual reality is that he could see what would happen to the individuals. He was just forecasting that, look, this is what's going to happen to you.
Another instance, when Ravana went to Yamaloka, Yamaraj actually lost it and he was about to kill him, and Brahma had to appear and stop him.
That's because of his boon. Said that, look, you can't. This guy is not going to die. This guy is not going to die in your hand. And Brahma, actually, ultimately what is Brahma saying? Have patience. Lord's pastime is going to happen. Make room for the pastime. Let this guy, let this character... act in his abominable way for a little longer. Don't stop him. Let him act. Because that will make the drama real exciting. So in that, on that level, they are dealing with the three aspects of time, past, present and future. Therefore they are not affected by anything. Whereas what happens to most of us, we react. We don't proact. We react. But if, I mean, everybody knows that if we become proactive, then our situation will become much more pleasant for our own self.
Apart from the confusions of Indra and others related to the Lord's pastimes, was there ever an instance of a demigod genuinely rebelling and assuming a position of power as the Asuras do, taking a position due to their pious credits?
They do not directly oppose the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but sometimes they end up doing that. For example, Durvasa gave Indra a garland, and Indra took the garland and placed it on his elephant's head, Airavat. Airavat took the garland with his trunk and threw it away. Durvasa got upset. Now here Indra actually acted in defiance to Durvasa, you know, not showing proper respect to him. But then they got, he had to suffer the consequences. Another thing is sometimes, like Indra defying Krishna, and which led to the incidents of Govardhan, the flooding, Krishna lifting Govardhan. So yes, Indra is doing it, but unknowingly he is doing it. He couldn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just saw that he is just a cowherd boy. He didn't see him, but when he recognized that he is Narayan, he is worshipable Lord, then with folded hand he begged forgiveness.
It's always unknowing, you never knowingly.
Generally not knowingly they are defiant to the Lord. Whereas the demons, even when they realize that he is the Supreme Personality of God, it's still they are defiant to him. And ultimately they have to be smashed, they have to be killed. Either by the Lord himself or by his agents. Yes?
If books are confusing, then how can we know that, how can we know which teacher is right?
The one who explains the books to you, he is the one who is right. The books are confusing to you because you don't...
There are many philosophies and in books and we get confused.
Yeah.
Then books themselves, then these themselves are confusing, then how can we know that teacher is right?
Yeah, the one who removes your confusion, the one who removes your doubts, he is the teacher. He is the real teacher. If somebody cannot displace your doubt, cannot dispel your doubt, then he is not the right teacher. The right teacher will remove all your doubts, provided you are submissive. Right? If you are willing to listen carefully and accept the right conclusion, then all doubts will be dispelled.
But by thinking about, taking God into consideration, so Supreme Personality into consideration, everything can be answered. That is possible.
Well, I can tell you personally about my own experience. There was a time when I was searching for spiritual life, and I knew that I needed a spiritual master. So I was traveling around India looking for that spiritual master guru. But I couldn't come across anybody who could remove my doubts. Right? I didn't know what my doubts were, but those doubts hadn't been removed. But then when I came to Prabhupada, my spiritual master, then all my doubts were dispelled by him. He removed all my doubts. And that's why I surrendered to Him. And still today, after 30 years, I didn't get any chance to think that I made a wrong decision by accepting Him as my teacher.
But his doubt clearing.
You try it and then you see it for yourself.
But his doubt clearing is based on Supreme Personality concept.
So listen to the teacher. Ask him, do you have any question about Supreme Personality?
Yeah.
So you can ask.
You can answer anything.
You ask the question. What's your question? What's your question?
It is a matter of faith.
I'm asking you, what's your question? Faith comes afterwards. What's your question? What is your faith?
I don't think that there is a Supreme Personality, then what to do, then how think and...
Well, you have to use your intelligence, you have to open your eyes. If a blind man says there is no sun, does it affect the sun? Or it affects the blind man? It's misfortune that he can't see the sun. Right? You say that you don't think that there is no Supreme Person. What is the basis of your thinking that way?
Because I have no realization and I don't think it is practical.
It's practical, okay. How can you decide it's not practical or not? Is there some things, okay, fine. Did somebody make this?
This is made by some...
Okay, somebody made this, right? The shirt you're wearing, somebody made this?
Yeah.
This building, somebody made this?
Yeah.
This planet, somebody made this?
That is not known
because you are not extending your intelligence to find out. Can there be something that is not made by somebody? Can there be something that hasn't been made by somebody? So the planet, if I say that this came from nowhere, it just fell from the sky, will any intelligent man accept this? Now here is this planet, here is the entire universe, right? Maintaining such a beautiful order. Did somebody make it? You may not have seen him, but use your intelligence. Do you have intelligence? Then why don't you use it? If you don't use your intelligence, then how you'll be termed as? You'll be termed as stupid. One who doesn't use his intelligence is stupid. Use your intelligence and find out. You may not see. Are you wearing a watch? No, okay. If... say, I'm wearing a watch. I may not have seen who made the watch, but I know that somebody must have made it, isn't it? I may not have seen it, but does it give me the right to say that because I didn't see the person who made the watch, I don't think there is a person who made this watch? Will?
The thing is that spiritual matters are to be realized.
Spiritual matters must be understood first. Not realize. You have to understand everything, not only spiritual matter, even material matters have to be understood first. Right? Realization comes after understanding. The first stage is understanding. Right? What is the subject that you are studying? You are doing your BTEC. In which branch?
Civil engineering.
Okay, now when you are in the college studying, what are you actually trying to do? Aren't you trying to understand the subject?
No.
Answer my question.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So in your class, what do you do in this college? What are you trying to do? You're trying to understand the subject. Did you know the subject before you came to the engineering college? But now what are you doing as you are studying? What are you doing? You're trying to understand the subject. Now try to understand this much. That you're trying to understand the subject.
The thing is that material thing spiritual thing are to be.
What are the spiritual things that you are talking about?
That is like God, existence of God. It has to be realized. I think that it cannot be observed.
The question is, is there something called God, first of all? No, is there something called God? Is God there? Huh? Don't look at him. Is God there? That is the thing that you have to understand. Right? You know, it actually begins from a very simple observation. This table is inert. This wall is inert. The floor is inert. This building is inert. Right? But are you inert or you are living? You are living. Now, what makes you living? What makes you alive? What causes you to be alive? Where is that force coming from? Answer my questions. Answer my questions. Where is the force coming from? If you don't know, tell me. You don't know. You know, but now you are saying, soul, you know.
I know that it is coming from soul. I have read it all.
What's that?
I read that it is coming from soul. The soul's energy.
The energy, where the energy is coming from? Okay. Now, what is the soul? Right? Where this energy, this life energy is coming? You know, someday when the soul will not be in the body, what will happen to the body? The body will become inert. So now this soul is a substance. Soul is a matter. Soul is something. Now, isn't it important to study that?
Soul is a spiritual entity that
okay, you don't know and you are giving your conclusion. You know, that is not intelligent. If you don't know, why speak about it? Try to understand. If I don't know civil engineering, and if I start speaking about civil engineering, what will you think of me? Won't you think that I am a stupid? Right? If I don't know about something, why should I speak about it? Let me first know about the subject. If I don't know, let me admit. I don't know. Let me learn. Okay, now you try to learn. Right? Be quiet and try to learn. If you're sincere. If you're not sincere, then it's a different thing. What's the point in arguing? What are you trying to prove to me? Tell me.
Okay, I am trying to learn. Soul is a special entity that may have different property and
how do you know?
It's intuition.
If I say that civil engineering is my intuition, will you accept it? Is civil engineering a matter of my intuition?
It's because I have seen many matters that is having different properties.
Did you ever study the subject? Did you ever try to study the subject? The spiritual subject matter. The science of spiritual reality.
Not that much.
Then, if you didn't study, then why are you talking about it? Intuition, speculation, what's the use? If you're serious, just take the book, study under the proper guidance. Now you're studying civil engineering. What are you doing? Aren't you studying some books under the guidance of a qualified teacher? Isn't that the way to learn a subject? So how can you consider that this subject, you don't have to follow the same procedure? So proper subject must be studied under proper direction and guidance. What's your name?
Rohit.
Jain. Okay. Okay, Rohit, you study. This is a subject, it's a science. Don't take it as just a matter of speculation. Nothing can be derived, nothing can be understood just by speculation. Do you know the four blind men went to see an elephant? Right? And you know how they saw the blind, how they saw the elephant? One touched the tail of the elephant and said that elephant is like a broom. You know? Broom. One touched the leg of an elephant, said that elephant is like a pillar. Another person touched the ear of the elephant and he said that it is like a fan. Elephant is like a fan. Now tell me, is this the perception of an elephant? Is the elephant like a broom? Is the elephant like a pillar? Is the elephant like a fan? No. So this is how, if a blind man tries to see something which is beyond his perception, he'll never be able to understand what it is. Now, if a blind man goes to see an elephant, and he listens to, you see, if he comes across a proper doctor, and he'll open his eyes, give him eyes, and then he'll be able to see the elephant. Another way, if he is completely blind, if he cannot really see at all, then he has to hear. This is an elephant. And by hearing, at least he can get some idea about the elephant. And someday when his eyes become cured, then he'll be able to see. So any subject must be studied under the direction of a qualified teacher. And the teacher also doesn't whimsically teach something. He teaches on the authority of the books. Your teacher in the engineering college, what is the authority he's teaching? Your books, right? He's simply elaborating the books, explaining the books, and through that, he is actually giving you the understanding. And who wrote the books? The authority is in the subject. Right. Similarly, there are books like this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Who wrote it? Vyasdev. He is an authority on this subject. And when you study the books, the understanding becomes clear. Okay, Rohit, will you stay here for how many days? Till tomorrow. Okay, take full advantage. And we are very happy to have you here. Thank you. How many of you came? You all came from Bhopal?
Yeah, I am.
Two from Indore.
Two from Indore, five from Bhopal. Where did you come from?
I'm from Ujjain.
You're from Ujjain? Okay. You're studying?
At Indore.
In Indore. Okay. Engineering college. So two of you are from Indore. How many of you? Two of you are from Indore? And other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are from Bhopal, and you are from Ujjain. Where do you live in Ujjain? Okay. And you come. You are studying. Where are you studying? Indore. In the what are you studying? Engineering. Which branch?
Electronics and telecommunications.
I see. Very good. So how many of you are doing electronics and telecommunications? 1, 2. You also in Indore?
No, sir. I'm from MNIT Bhopal.
Bhopal. Okay. Okay. And how many of you are doing civil with Rohit? Just Rohit is alone, civil engineering. Okay. And how many of you are doing mechanical? One. And what are you studying?
Electrical.
Electrical.
B-Pharm.
B-Pharm. Okay. Very good. So, who is taking care of them? You're taking care of them? Oh, very good. Take care of them nicely. How do you like it here? Your visit? You came here before, right? Yeah, I remember you. How many of you have come before? Okay. Very good. And those who are newcomers, how you like it here? Are you comfortably situated?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna.